Let's see what Vincent Goodwill, my guy over at Comcast Sportsnet, who loves me even though he doesn't know it, is joining us now, 720 WGN. Hi, Vincent. How are you, sir?
What's going on, guys?
You know that you agree with me on that one, right? I think I actually do think we're in agreement. Go to the bottom with Jimmy and build it from there, right?
Go to the, when you say go to the bottom, I mean, how are you going to go to the bottom if you have a top 15 player?
Well, okay, whatever that bottom is with him, like I'm trading Taj. I would have done everything else they did in the offseason as far as not bringing back Joe, trading Derek, all that type of stuff, and then play young players. Like, people are wondering, why isn't Rajon Rondo coming off the bench right now? He's not coming off the bench right now because you'd rather play a young player in Jerian Grant. That's why. At least I would.
Well, I don't. I guess it depends on what you. Like I said, it completely depends on not only just saying going down to the depth, so or whatever you want to call it, but I always tell people, and I said a little bit yesterday on Twitter. Be very careful about wanting change for change's sake and wanting to rebuild just for the sake of wanting something different. Because once you make the decision to go down that road, it's very, very difficult to get out of it because you leave yourself no room for error. With the way the lottery system works, with the way that one player can change your fortune, with the way that free agency works, with the way that the trading market works, it's very hard unless you have the young assets in place already who you just know are going to develop and it's just going to take time. The Bulls can't answer that question right now just to say, well, we'll bottom out in 2 years, Nikola Mirotic is going to be this, or Doug McDermott is going to be this, or Jerian Grant is going to be this. There's far too many question marks. I think that it's much more practical, at least for me. If you've got a player in his absolute prime that you can hold on to, and Jimmy Butler with the way the CBA works, and you know that free agency won't be this utopia because of the way that the league wants free agency to work from now on, you're going to have to work this through your trade market. You're going to have to make the right trades, and I think it's best that you try to stay competitive in the interim because I don't know if people get drafts right. It's an inexact science for the most part. And the last few drafts I haven't been completely impressed with. So to say that, well, we didn't trust you the last three drafts, per se, but we're going to trust you to tear this down, get the right draft picks, do it the right way, you're going to have, maybe another year of Jimmy Butler before he gets frustrated. Then you got to trade him for, what, more draft picks, more young players?
Well, Vince,
and you better get that right.
And, Vince, if we look back, do Garpax have any clue what they want to do with this team? Why, as Carm mentioned, why bring in Dwayne Wade? Why sign Rajon Rondo? Why now does Jimmy Butler's name surface in trade rumors? Why the hell would you trade Jimmy Butler in the first place? And why would you bring in these aging veterans? There's clearly just no direction with this organization right now.
Well, I would say that I don't think that when they signed Rajon, or at least when they brought him in on the first day of free agency, they didn't have any clue that the way Miami marriage would break up. Like, let's be completely honest. Nobody thought Wade was actually going to leave Miami. You thought there would be some back and forth and things like that, but you thought eventually cooler heads would prevail and Wade would wind up being there. That didn't happen.
Absolutely.
Had they known Wade was going to be there and he was going to be their guy, I think they would have went in a completely different direction. I just think it was the order of how things fell. But I don't have a problem with signing Dwayne Wade. I don't see where there could be an issue of that, especially when you have a coach who's not very experienced in the ways of dealing with a locker room, in the ways of dealing with a maturing star who's growing into his position. I don't. This isn't Willie Mays, tripping over his feet or something. At least that's not how I see it.
So why trade Jimmy Butler, Vincent? Why would they even entertain the idea?
I have not a clue.
I'm trying to figure it out myself. I don't get it.
I don't think they are. And I'll say this. I don't think anything has changed from last year last June on draft night when they were reportedly, allegedly, depending on who you talk to, talking to Minnesota, talking to Boston, and trying to get the Herschel Walker deal. And I don't think that's ever really changed as far as, hey, if we get offered something really, really great, we'll strongly consider making the deal. I don't think you necessarily should do that because if you're trading Jimmy Butler, what are you hoping to get back in the long run?
another Jimmy Butler or someone who can develop into that type of player. But if you already got him, why trade him? To me, that doesn't make sense.
And the trade rumors are real, correct, Vince? And you can confirm that. These rumors that are surfacing, it's real, right? The Bulls are feeling things out?
I don't think that's ever changed. I think the report coming out seemed like the news cycle was starting over. But I think the Bulls were always somewhat open to listening. Now, the teams that the Bulls have engaged with before, and whether it's been reported talks or not, they have told me that nothing has changed in that matter, that they haven't had talks with the Bulls about Jimmy Butler or anything like that. So, and they said, you know, if something had changed, we would try to put something together, but they said that nothing has happened. So I'm not sure who the Bulls exactly are talking to or what they're trying to get compared to what they were trying to get before. It could just be the timing of the report, and I'm not throwing salt on anybody's reporting or whatever. I'm just saying I don't think anything necessarily changed from June to now.
Vincent Goodwill's Comcast Sportsnet with us here on 720 WGN. Whenever I'm in the locker room and I get to talk to Dwayne Wade, I'm super impressed by him. I mean, everybody says the same thing. This is the most professional guy they've had in that locker room since Michael himself. He definitely knew the situation he was coming into, that this wasn't a championship team. Yet he's speaking the other day, Vincent, talking about, hey, you know, I only have so many years left. Adding on would be cool. I'm almost like, is that like you just doing that for the media? Because he couldn't really have come here thinking he was going to win anything, right?
No, but there's a difference. There's a huge difference in what you're saying and what how you're interpreting what he's saying and what I think that he's trying to convey. When you look at the Eastern Conference, there's nobody that scares you outside of Cleveland, right? And as a competitor, if you're going to tell Dwayne, yes, come to Chicago because of Jimmy Butler, and then on the other side of it say, well, no, Dwayne, don't expect to compete for anything. I think you can't say that, because if you have a Jimmy Butler, that's going to automatically put you in the mix. But then to say, well, put a ceiling on that, you know, I just think he was trying to say, look, this isn't a championship team right now. That's not where we're at this stage. But when he sees the Eastern Conference shake itself out and he sees the opportunity, hey, why can't we be a second-round team or a team that potentially can go against LeBron James in the conference finals or in the second round? As a competitor, you want that opportunity if you see that it's there. So if he's saying, okay, you know what, if we're one half-decent player away, then I don't think that's something, you know, wrong. I don't think he's telling, hey, mortgage the future or anything like that. He's just saying, hey, we got an opportunity now. We can make a decent move. Okay, go ahead and do it. And what future do you have that you could mortgage? Let's be honest here.
Right, right. I mean, sure, if you could trade Nikola Mirotic for something that made more sense for this roster, I would do it. I don't know if any team would give you something that would make more sense, or even Doug McDermott for that matter. But I mean, does anybody on that roster have any value? Taj Gibson included, that they could deal. I mean, what could you get for any of these guys, really?
Well, I think the team that the Bulls are playing tonight will probably love to have Taj Gibson.
He would make sense, and that's a perfect fit for Toronto. But so what are you going to get back from the Toronto Raptors? Terrence Ross?
Here's what the Bulls could possibly be thinking. If, you know, there was the rumored deal about Pau Gasol with Sacramento last season, and they didn't trade him, and they held on to him, and they wanted the cap space. And they say, you know what, if we traded Pau Gasol last year, we have Ben McLemore, not Dwayne Wade. So their logic could also trickle down with Taj and just say, you know what, whether we keep him or, you know, keep him and re-sign him to a reasonable contract or, you know, or move on or something like that, we'd rather do that than trade him for pennies on the dollar. And I actually agree with that line of thinking. And secondly, once again, if there's only one team or two teams that you can trade a guy to, it limits actually what you can get back. If that makes sense. The more bidders you have for a guy, the better the offers you're going to get.
Of course. All right. Well, it'll be interesting. So you're expecting then the Bulls to make a deal come the deadline?
I don't. No. I didn't say that. No. Don't you dare put words in my mouth about this Bulls front office. No, I don't. I have no clue. If you're expecting me to know what this front office is going to do,
fine.
I got the lottery numbers for you tomorrow. Okay.
All right. Fair enough. So, all right. Just real quick, just general NBA.
Hey,
go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin.
Real quick, should they cut Rajon Rondo?
Yes. I'll answer that. Go ahead. What do you think?
I think that if you're not going to play him, I don't know why necessarily you have him here, but I think from an organizational standpoint, I think they know that Rajon is on strike two and he can't act up. So they know that they're going to get good behavior from him. But I don't know if you don't want him here, you know, I don't know why you would keep him here almost against his will.
I mean, is there anybody in the NBA that's trading for a guy making $11 million?
14, right?
No, 14, rather, my bad.
Call Cleveland.
LeBron wants a point guard.
LeBron to that boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Whatever, send him to Cleveland. Let's just keep building that roster. How does Atlanta just say, you know what, yeah, okay, go ahead, take Kyle Korver, and we're going to get basically nothing in return? We'll just give you another piece to make the finals more interesting? How does that work?
Sometimes you have great relationships around the league, and if you're going to send a guy somewhere, you'd rather send him to your buddy. Like Kevin Garnett going to Boston from Kevin McHale, gift wrap to Danny Ainge, two former Celtics. Sometimes these things just happen.
All right, I got to pause on that. We got a good relationship here. I like Cleveland. Korver's been a good guy down here.
LeBron needs another weapon. Here, take Korver.
Guy's going to just drill 40% of threes.
We're not trying to compete. We're not worried about we're signaling that we're stripping this down.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter what we send them.
So where's Paul Millsap going then, too? Toronto? Why don't we hand him to Toronto? So let's make an interesting Eastern Conference final.
That would be an interesting move too. If you're the Bulls, why wouldn't you call Paul Mills? We'll call for Paul Mills.
That's okay. All right. If I was Gar Pax, I'd be on the phone on that one. Okay. I got one question on Golden State and Cleveland. Not even sure what my question is, other than why can't we just fast forward to the NBA Finals and just watch this? Because really, right now, if you're an NBA fan, that's really all you want to see, right? I mean, let's just get it on.
True, but, you know, there's some entertainment in the ingredients. There's an entertainment in how it's going to get there. You got to get past San Antonio or the Clippers or, you know, Oklahoma City or Houston. The West is still going to be interesting. We know how it's going to turn out. At least we think we do. You know, and if you're an Eastern Conference team, why don't you grow a pair and go challenge Cleveland and go grab a piece or two that can elevate you and see what you can do. Don't concede. Go ahead and grab a pair. That's for me. If I'm a GM, I'm going for it.
I love
competition.
It.
Competition. All right. Not conceding anything.
Well, Toronto would be the team to do that. We'll see what they do. Vincent, we'll see you out there at the United Center tonight. The Bulls and the Raptors, baby. Big game. For whatever reason, the Bulls beat the Raptors every time. I think that maybe changes tonight, but we'll see. Thanks for taking time, man.
Thanks, Vincent.
He was gaming that guy. See you soon.